may be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is a joy and a privilege to be able to go through the scriptures and set things straight that have been abused and misused and misapplied. I was raised in the Independent Baptist churches, but at 15 I started a Bible club in a public high school, about 3,000 students. And in doing so, you come up against all the different ideologies that have been instilled into high schoolers in our society. You deal with questions even in the Baptist church, because everybody you're talking to there, they have friends who are charismatic and friends who are this and friends who are that. And so these questions are continually coming up, and you're hearing the answers to them, and most of them are unsatisfactory. As a young man, it became an obsession to me to find all the loose ends and figure out where do these go? Where are they supposed to go? How is this supposed to work? How does this engine run? What is this wire doing? And what does this do? And why? And I wanted to know. And I have proven to myself, even if not to anybody else, that those who seek, find. And the understanding I have of God's Word now is a joy and a blessing when I look back over all the years of questioning and searching and asking, and the answers received, and the things I heard preached, and the things I see in books and commentaries. And so it's a beautiful thing to walk through the Scriptures. I enjoy it. It's the joy of my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we begin our new subject today. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And because of the word gifts there, we assume that we're talking about things directly given by God that are all good. Okay? But you notice in your King James Bible, that word gifts is in italics. Okay? The word there is pneumaticos. Now, everybody knows that a pneumatic tool is one that runs on air. Pneuma is the Greek word for air or spirit. Okay? And so, when you're dealing with Jesus compared the spirit to the wind. The wind blows where it listeth, now hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. Okay? Pneuma. It's like the wind. You can't see it, but you do see the effects of it. It is invisible to us. And so, just look outside today. You can't see the wind, but you can sure see what it's doing. So this could have been translated spiritual gifts or spiritual persons or spiritual things. William Tyndale said, "In spiritual things, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, and went your ways unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I declare unto you that no man speaking by the Spirit of God defieth Jesus. Also no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." So we're talking about spiritual manifestations. Okay? They may be of God, they may not be of God. So when you read this, now concerning spiritual gifts, don't just think of the Holy Ghost gifting saints and everything expected to be from God. We're talking, he says, now concerning spiritual manifestations or spiritualities or spiritual things, I don't want you to be ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. What is that? That's bad pneumaticos. That's not good pneumaticos. They had been led away to bad spiritualities. Wherefore I give you to understand, because of your poor foundation in spiritual manifestations, I want you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God or speaking inspired by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed or says Jesus anathema, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So, the idea here is that those who seek authority and they want you to believe that what they say is directly from the Holy Ghost usually try to fake a spiritual gift. That's what gibberish today is all about. The false tongues movement That the whole thing, what it's all about, is to make you think that this person is speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. This comes from God. So you have to listen to what I'm saying. It's authoritative. The only way they gain that authority is by faking a spiritual gift. And that's what's happening. And the gibberish of tongues was a primary way that the pagan priestesses also sought to have authority. They sought to establish inspiration from God by their ecstatic utterances. That was nothing new in this day. And so what's happening today in the tongues movement is nothing but a re-eruption of what they were doing in the pagans' temples. Okay? Trying to establish that what I'm telling you is from God. Why? Because there's some spiritual manifestation. Oh, it must be of God. So what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with a church that has lots of truly Holy Ghost gifts? No, we're dealing with a church that has spiritual manifestations that are bad pneumaticos, okay? And Paul is going to help them to discern between the two. Now, if charismatics would read 12, 13, and 14 with that in mind, they wouldn't be trying, they do it to establish their false gift. And their interpretations are all messed up. At the end of chapter 14, Paul says this in verse 36 to 38. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or pneumaticos, spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So Paul is dealing with false manifestations. They were indeed ignorant. They were still holding to bad ideas, bad pneumaticos. In Ephesians 5:19, we talk about singing to yourself in spiritual songs. Pneumaticos odes. Ephesians 6:12, that same word is used when we're talking about warring against spiritual wickedness in high places. Pneumaticos wickedness in high places. Okay, same word. So pneumaticos doesn't define good or bad.
Right.
It can be good or it can be bad. So that which is spiritual may be of the devil or it may be of the Holy Ghost. So he says here, you remember from your past, you were deceived by bad pneumaticos, basically. And so I want you to, that's a foundation for us talking about this subject. There were imposters in the church. Paul is going to regulate them out of business. He's implying to these people that you are still being carried away. He says here, you know that you were Gentiles carried away, led away unto these dumb idols. Now you look back and you're ashamed. Like, what were they doing bowing down to a rock? You know, a stump of a tree covered in gold, praying to it. That was bad spirituality. But being that you were led into that, don't get so high-minded about your present discernment. There's a lot of people who come to us from bad pneumaticos, and then they come here and suddenly they want everybody to trust their discernment. It's like, you need to remember what your discernment was there. Okay? And that's an important issue. Paul is laying a good foundation here to correct them. Adam Clark says, previously to your conversion to the Christian faith, you were heathens, carried away, not guided by reason or truth, but hurried by your passions into a senseless worship, the chief part of which was calculated only to excite and gratify animal propensities, which we've talked about. That's where all pagan religions go. And so, ecstatic utterances were a common part of that. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God... This is, he says, wherefore, due to this reality, you need to understand that this gibberish is not good pneumaticos. No man speaking by the Spirit of God. It's not what, it's not how you're speaking that gives you true spirituality. There's people today who breathe in the microphone and they tell this real nice story. And they have a really smooth presentation, and people say, oh, it's so spiritual. Oh, it's spiritual, but what kind of pneumaticos is it? Yeah. Okay? You can be spiritual and be bad. In fact, most of the devil's deceptions are spiritual. False piety is very spiritual. Judaizers were very spiritual. The Gnostics were very spiritual. The Muslims are very spiritual. The Catholics are very spiritual. Pneumaticos. But it's not good pneumaticos. It's bad. Marcionism is bad pneumaticos. Okay? Spurgeon says, who I don't agree with his doctrine, but here's some couple good quotes. If your religion does not make you holy, it will damn you as surely as you are now alive. The proof that Christ came into the world should be that his followers are holy. Now that's what Calvinists used to preach, because he was a Calvinist, but still, those are good quotes. Sensuality does not mean spirituality. Okay? Enthusiasm does not mean spirituality. Tears do not mean spirituality. Emotionalism does not mean spirituality. A fuzzy feeling does not mean spirituality. I'm talking good spirituality. All those things are pneumaticos, but they're not necessarily good. Okay? Bad doctrine is always bad pneumaticos. Because calling Jesus a curse, it doesn't matter how you do it. You're the devil. Okay? And saying that Jesus is the Lord in all the proper definitions and context is from the Holy Ghost. Whether you say it quietly, loudly, emotionally, or not emotionally. So, just like they needed some lessons in pneumaticos, so do we. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4, Paul says to them, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity," that means one ingredient, purity, unadulterated, "the simplicity that is in Christ." All right? "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," I'm sure it's going to sound spiritual, "whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit," oh, that's obviously spiritual, "which we have not received, another gospel," I'm sure it's going to sound so spiritual, "which you have not received, you might well bear with him." There's bad pneumaticos out there. Can you discern it? Can you see it? Do you know what to look for? And most people who are looking for the flavor they enjoy don't care what the source is. Okay? Church hoppers are looking for the church where they feel comfortable. The pneumaticos that fits their ideology. The pneumaticos that fits their paradigm. Alright? And when they find what they like, the flavor they enjoy, they settle down. It doesn't matter if it's true or false. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing, if his ministers also are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end should be according to their works." Ministers of righteousness, or if you stuck the word justification in there, it would fit just as well. They're evangelists. Oh, they're going to get a lot of people saved. Oh? It's good for us to understand that all gifts, all gospels, all spirits, all Jesuses, all miracles are not necessarily from God. But understand that people's interactions are indeed pneumaticos. You minister a spirit. You absorb pneumaticos. Spirituality, okay? What you minister is what you're full of. You're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to minister the Holy Ghost. You're full of yourself, that's what you're going to minister. And yourself can take on, can be enhanced by many, there's many spirits out there. Alright? Music is spiritual. In John, 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." We'll say, "Well, I've never heard a spirit." Well, this is what he's talking about. But try the spirits whether they are of God. Well, how? I've never met a spirit. It says, no, go on. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We're talking about false teachers. Okay? Everybody ministers a spirit. You turn on the Christian radio, there's a spirit. There's a spirit in country music. And there's a spirit in rock music. And there's a spirit in queer music, whatever they call it. There's a spirit in rap music. And there's a spirit in sensual Christian music. There are spirits, real spirits, that work in different categories. Okay? The Bible declares that. We don't see the spirit, but I can sense a spirit. In fact, I see rebellious teenagers doing things today that I saw 37 years ago in high school. And I know it's like, how come they're the same mannerisms, types of speech, so forth? Where'd it come from? Well, there's a spirit. That spirit's still alive and working. The same spirit that was working in the hippies in the 60s is working in those who are attracted to him today. The same types of things, okay? The same types of ideas. And so in Galatians 3:5, what we were just talking about today, Paul asked, he brings up a subject. He that ministereth to you the Spirit. What was he talking about? He's talking about your preacher, your teacher. I am ministering to you today a spirit, okay? Now, depending on what spirit is in me, that determines what spirit I minister to you. When you get around with the other women and start gossiping and bashing your husband, you are ministering a spirit. And they need to be careful because they're absorbing a spirit. When you kids get together, why do birds of a feather flock together? Because there is a spirit in this person. Spirit of rebellion, spirit of pride, spirit of sensuality, whatever that spirit is. And if you are attracted to them, it's because you're attracted to that spirit. And you are absorbing of their spirit, and you begin to also manifest that spirit. This is very spiritual, people. Okay? How is it that rebellion, false doctrine, and so forth, you find it in categories? And these categories manifest, I mean, okay, I grew up in the country western music cowboy scene. That same scene is still there today. The same spirit, okay? The same thrust. Now there's another spirit that I saw in high school, was the dope head, the freak, the hippie. And that same spirit is working in a different category today. And they have their own music. They don't listen to this music. They have their own music. You see the different types of makeup, the different types of styles of hair for different groups. What do you think? You think these humans came up with all that and orchestrated this globally? No. It's a spiritual thing. There are spirits working. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But there are many varieties of evil spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. Music, like I said, is very spiritual. Hair, fashions, mannerisms, speech, ideas, conclusions, they run in packs. Marxists, Democrats, leftists. I've often wondered, how can these people see the world the way they do? Why can't people who are going to tear down their own house over their head not see that they're going to do that? How do people with children and grandchildren living in the United States not want that which is best for the country? I don't understand that. Why are they thinking so? How do they calculate? Well, there's spirits behind that as well. In Revelation 16:13 it says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are spirits of devils working miracles," which miracles could come in many different forms. I think that this could include great inventions of things that would have been considered miraculous. "Which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So these spirits are going to be out there. They're not real frogs hopping around. Okay, this is looking I mean, maybe in the spirit world they would look of a similar sort. But we're talking spirits that deal in world leaders and work in the minds of world leaders. Okay? Calvinism. There's a spirit behind Calvinism. There's a spirit behind Antinomianism, Marcionism, Arianism, Mormonism, Catholicism. There is a spirit for each one of those, or spirits. There might be a whole group of spirits dedicated to these different isms, propagating that ideology, that thought process. Otherwise, you wonder, why are they doing that? Why can't they see Joseph Smith was a fraud? Why can't they read Luke 16 and see there's fire in there? You know, we had an Arian, Jehovah's Witnesses are Arians, okay? We had an Arian sit out here and he read through it from his translation called Blazing, it said Blazing Flame. He got through it and said, I don't see no fire there. There's a spirit behind all that stupidity. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. That in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay? Does that clear it up? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And what are they doing? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. This is false pneumaticos. These people aren't the homosexuals. These people are false religionists. It's false piety. Forbidding to marry. Why? Because we're more spiritual than that. Commanding to abstain from meats. The Catholic Church do that. Right now is Lenten. They're all having a fish fry. Why? Because that's not the same kind of flesh. That's a different kind of flesh. And they're all abstaining from flesh. Who came up with all that nonsense? So, back to the question. What spirit do you minister? What are you full of? What spirit are you absorbing? Do you really like that music? Does it really attract you and draw you in? That's because there's a spirit there that you are willing to absorb. Is it the Holy Spirit? If it's not the Holy Spirit, it's the spirit of a devil. Mm-hmm. Young people get together and they talk. You got some young person who hates authority, speaks evil of parents, would mock you for obeying your parents, would mock you for being square or straight or upright. He is full of a spirit and he's ministering it. The question is, are you going to absorb that spirit? It's like catching a bug, like catching a virus. You talk to a humble, wise, godly, believing person, they're also ministering a spirit to you. And you need to realize the reality of the spiritual warfare going on in the world and what spirits you absorb and what spirits you're drawing to you. Some spirits you may have no interest in, but other spirits may have. There may be something in you that is drawn that way, but it's a spirit. Mark my words. If it's not the Holy Ghost, you're being seduced. It's seducing spirits. Okay? Now, verse 4. So, Paul is going to give them a lesson on discerning such things. He says, there are diversities of gifts. Obviously, in Christ's church, he's talking about. The context here is in the church. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. Understand, this is not a broadening of their mind, but a narrowing. That's why he said this. He's teaching them to discern. You judge legitimacy by comparison to the Word of God. Gifts must be of this Holy Spirit, or it's bad pneumaticos. Administrations must be under the same Lord. Operations must be aligned with the same God. If there is some operation or administration or gift or something that you want to operate in the church and it's not consistent with the Holy Ghost, not consistent with the Word of God, okay? It's not of this Spirit. There are indeed variations, but they all have to be under that same cap. We read before in Deuteronomy 13 where he says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass. Oh, This is a spiritual gift. Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave to him. You need to discern good pneumaticos, and stick with it, and embrace it. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So, if there's some spirituality that wants to lead you contrary to the way that God commanded you to walk in, it's a seducing spirit. Mark it down. Matthew 24:24, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. In other words, there would not be a bride for Christ someday. It would be so subtle, so deceptive, that Christ wouldn't even have a pure bride. So don't think it's just, it'll be obvious. No. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 talks about, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. Another translation from the Peshitta says, to profit the church, to edify the church. The manifestations of the Spirit are given to edify the church. Okay? Not for toys, not for show, not to impress your neighbor, not to play with. The true manifestations of the Holy Spirit are geared to edify the body of Christ according to the Word of God. And everything else is junk. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of languages. To another, the interpretation of languages. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Not as you will, but as he will. In fact, it's interesting because what it's saying is that God does not initially make us all complete. He initially makes us all incomplete. The Holy Ghost is given to me when I repent and I'm born again, but I am given a part of what I need, and he gives another part to another brother, and another part to a sister, and another brother, and so forth, to where he makes it to where we need one another. The same way he made the body. This hand cannot live by itself. It has to have the rest of the body to meet its potential, to be complete. And so, the same with the body. We all, as we put our heads together, and we pray together, and we study together, we enhance one another's growth in grace. We are to operate as a body. But what happens is, the devil tries to bring in a virus, or a germ, okay? And what that is, that's something that is indeed of the same similar substance, but it has a different agenda. Okay? The COVID-19 coronavirus goes into your lungs. It gets in there and wants to replicate itself. What does it feed on? The same thing the rest of your cells feed on. Okay? You're feeding it. It's a parasite. Gets in there and eats your food, but does its own thing. It's not supporting the body. It's taking away from the body with its own agenda. It's supporting its own idea, its own direction, its own agenda, and yet it's there feeding on the same body. Okay? That's what cancer does. A cancer will kill you, but those cancer cells are cells like those in your own body. They just have a different agenda. They're building for a different purpose. They're doing their own thing, and it eventually kills the body. Okay? False spirituality does the same thing. False gifts do the same thing. He divides to every man severally as he will, but it all has to be that one and self same Lord, that one and self same Spirit, for that one and self same purpose, by that one and self same Word of God, or it's a cancer cell, or it's a parasite, it's something else. Okay, let's go on. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Obviously, God made each part of the body incomplete by itself. You run out and want to be a Lone Ranger Christian out there, you will get to feel like you're really spiritual. Why? Because you have no accountability, no interaction, and you're all by yourself, and you're comparing yourself with yourself, looking in the mirror, justifying all your problems and lifting up all your good points, and you get to think you're a spiritual giant. But then you come to church, and you're around people, and you're scrutinized, and you're analyzed, and you're watched, and you realize, oops, you know, I'm not as wonderful as I thought I was. Someone once said about Bill Gothard, who never married, but was a spiritual teacher. I'm not going to say who it was, I'm not sure. But they said, there's nothing wrong with Bill Gothard that a wife and three children wouldn't cure. And that was well said. There's a lot of single fellas who think they know all about marriage and how to have a good marriage and how to raise good children. But a wife and three children will cure that in time. Verse 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Nothing outside of this is of God. Okay? Schism is contrary to this one Spirit. It's the working of other spirits. Verses 14 through 27. Let's go on down and read verse 17 on. We've read up to verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now, a lot was said there that would do us a lot of good if we understood it in the sense of the body of Christ. If you could choose what part of a body you wanted to be, what would you choose? Would you want to be the gallbladder? Would you want to be the liver? But would you like to be without your liver? How important is your liver? You cannot live without your liver, right? Liver is a very important thing in your body. But none of us would say, oh, I want to be the liver, if you had a choice. We are a brick in the wall. And it says here, God has set him in the church as it hath pleased him. Am I content to be what God hath chosen me to be? The brick in the spot where he wanted me to be? Realizing that one brick doesn't make a wall, but all those bricks have to be lined up in their proper place to make a wall. And it's important for the sake of the whole that there is a wall. We are all lively stones, living stones, built together as a habitation of God through the Spirit. It does us all good when we are a habitation of God through the Spirit. But in order to be the habitation of God through the Spirit, we have to fill our spot in the wall. If there's no habitation of God, God does not dwell there. So it's like, okay, what part of the football team do you want to be? You want to be the linebacker? You want to be the quarterback? You want to be the guard? What do you want to be? You want to be the coach? If everybody wants to be the coach, you still don't have a team. It does everybody good to win the game. All right? We all win when the game is won. But unless we all fill our role as we're supposed to fill our role, nobody wins. And so God has a covenant. We are given a place. Every brick is important. Every brick is important. Whether or not everybody recognizes your individual importance, God does. God has a place for you. God has a work for you. God has and that means a responsibility. God has gifted you to fill the place He's given you. Do you realize that? Now, spiritual gifts are given according to God's will. It says, and God has set some in the church first, apostles. I'm not going to ever be first. I'll never be an apostle. Is that okay? Fine with me. Because what that means is, first place, highest responsibility. Highest demand. Okay? I want to be in the first place. Well, you're going to have the highest responsibility and the highest demand on your life. Secondarily, he says here, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He always puts tongues last because that's the toy everybody wants to use to establish their spirituality, okay, and their authority. And so the healings and the tongues, he always puts down on the list. And he's doing this very wisely. He has come in here. He first showed them, you don't have discernment. You are Gentiles worshiping idols. So sit back and listen. Then he walks through God's plan and program of the way things ought to be. And he deliberately puts things that they were elevating at the end of his lists. All right? And then he's going to say, are all apostles? No. Obvious answer. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Okay, now what's he doing? He's regulating the false people, the false teachers, out of business. Today, the regulation set down in 12, 13, and 14, if followed, would regulate all the false tongues out of business. So wise. So he's not just saying you're of the devil, okay? He's letting everybody see this is of God and that's of the devil. He's exposing it, but in a very subtle, kind way to the believers. So he's not pointing out individuals. He's giving them principles whereby they know. So he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So this is all part of the same dissertation we're going to cover next week, 1 Corinthians 13. The more excellent way is not trying to establish my authority and manifest my gift. The more excellent way is true, unselfish benevolence of God. Love. Okay? Now, by laying out the picture of the true saint, he's also exposing the false pietist. By laying out what it looks like when you follow the true pneumaticos, he's exposing the false pneumaticos. And Paul is very, I mean, inspired of the Holy Ghost, but God uses the fact, God gave him wisdom, but we can really appreciate his wise use of all these situations, his wise walk through this. God has always given Holy Ghost power and gifting to fulfill his purposes. In Exodus 31:1, when they've just come out of Egypt, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and silver, and brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship." This guy was going to head up the tabernacle building committee. And God gifted him to do that. Did he work miracles? No. Did he heal anybody? No. Did he talk in tongues? No. But he was filled with the Holy Ghost to fulfill a job that God had for him, building the tabernacle. Now, interesting question. Once he was given that wisdom, could he teach others? Yes. Yeah, he could. And so, when you are born again, God had a purpose and a plan for you, and he gave you initial gifting. And the more you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the more you mature and perfect your gift, because the more full of the Holy Ghost you become. And as you earnestly covet the best gifts, as you pray for wisdom, you get more wisdom. As you pray for understanding, as you strive to fulfill your role, God can multiply your gifting. God can enhance your gifting. And as you walk with wise men, you will become wise. You can partake of their gifts. And we minister the Spirit one to another, okay? Until we all come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, unto the perfect man. And so that's something about this idea of spiritualities that most people don't understand. Instead of wanting to glean spiritual gifts from others and learn from others and get together and minister the Spirit one to another, too often we come together for the worse and not for the better. Too often children come to church and instead of absorbing the Spirit of God through those who have it, they absorb the spirit of the world through those who have it. Instead of church being a place where I'm encouraged and edified in the Lord, we come together in church and people want to exhibit whatever spirit they have, and sometimes it's not the Spirit of God. And if someone's whispering in your ear, and ladies, you're having a little powwow, and someone is showing forth a spirit contrary to the Spirit of Christ, you need to get away. Or you need to say, you know, I don't think this is the Spirit of Christ. I don't believe the Holy Ghost likes what we're doing here. I don't think the Holy Ghost likes what we're saying. I don't think the Holy Ghost likes our attitude. Now, you might get some rebuff from that, so be it. But are you going to sit there and absorb that spirit? What's that going to do in your spiritual life? How's that going to affect you and your outlook? Guaranteed, what spirit you're full of affects your outlook. It affects your thinking processes. Okay? You read Ephesians 6, putting on the armor of God, and the spiritual wrestling with spiritual wickedness. It all comes in the form of thought processes. Okay? The fiery darts are repelled with the shield of what? Faith. Where does that exercise originate? In your thought processes. What are those fiery darts? They're thoughts. Okay? They're thoughts. And you got to repel them by faithful thoughts. The breastplate of righteousness. Loins girt about with truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All this has to do with a battle in your head. Okay? A battle in your head and your conclusions. So, pneumaticos affects you. I've known people who sat in this building and amen and said things that were right on. And then they follow a seducing spirit leads them away. And I see them saying things and doing things and coming to conclusions. And I'm saying, what happened to the person I used to know? These aren't the conclusions they would have come to while they were sitting here saying amen. But they're coming to those conclusions in their thought processes. Why? Pneumaticos. Don't think you're so big that you're an independent entity on the planet. You are affected. Okay? You can be seduced. And you'll think, well, I'm still thinking with the same brain. I got the knowledge, the wisdom I always had. Maybe, no, now I'm smarter. In reality, you've been seduced. You're under the influence of seducing spirits. You're being led to destruction. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is becoming fainter and fainter as you resist, as you yield to another spirit. This is reality. So, we're talking about spiritualities. Now concerning pneumaticos, I would not have you ignorant. Very important that we understand proper pneumaticos. Proper spirituality is always in line with true doctrine. It's always in line with holy living. It's going to be in line with God's law. It's going to be in line with the person of Jesus Christ as a first century Jew walking and calling first century Jews as apostles. If you don't understand the Jesus of the first century, you've been into some false pneumaticos. Marcionism started very early because the devil knew that this subtle slip would have long-range catastrophic impact on Christendom. This subtle slip of interpreting Jesus contrary to the scriptures of the Old Testament, the Word of God. So subtle. Calvinism, subtle slip. They're spirits. And if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect of God, the very bride of Christ. And there would be no bride. There will be a bride. The question is, will you be a part of it? There will be a bride. Because those who love this book enough to question their own previous conclusions, who love it enough to grow, who love it enough to not demean the apostles, who love it enough not to demean God's law, who love it enough to understand the immutability of God must be established in my doctrine. Okay? You love it enough to want to know why this doesn't seem consistent with this. In the same Sunday school lesson, they can contradict themselves and say things totally contradictory, and it doesn't bug anybody! Because they're still upholding the ism, and that's all that's important. Okay? It needs to bug you when you see a contradiction. It needs to bug you enough to find the truth. Then you'll be a part of the bride of Christ and not led by seducing spirits. Let's stand together. May the Lord help us. I want to be a lover of truth. I want to be a discerner of pneumaticos. I don't want to be sucked in and led around because of a spirit that happened to resonate with something in my flesh. Okay? All of our flesh is different. And not all evil spirits resonate with everybody alike. Okay? You might resonate more with the country music, where someone else resonates more with rock music. Those are spirits. And they're seeking to resonate with your flesh. And when you entertain that, because after all, I kind of like it, then you are being seduced by a spirit. Okay? That's what's happening. Instead, you should say, no, I don't think that's the Spirit of God. I better slam that door. I better crucify that flesh that likes that. Because that's not the Spirit of God. Those are the people who will endure to the end and overcome and be saved. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking right along that line as well, that these false Jesus and false gospels, they have somewhat of an advantage in that they're designed by human beings with similar tastes as what we have. Mm-hmm. So they know exactly how to put things to appeal to us. Whereas the message of Christ is like it's supposed to hit head on with all that and get it out of the way. It's
devil is so subtle. The more I live and understand what he's up to, it's so subtle. And the thing is, he uses good spiritual concepts to keep these people in his bad spiritual concepts. Okay? The idea of faithfulness and resisting evil, what they end up doing is, when we're trying to give them the truth, they feel like, oh, I need to resist evil. That's evil. So the devil is using good spiritual concepts to keep these people in bad spiritual concepts. So frustrated. And the devil never has an error-only spirituality. He always has probably maybe 75, 95, 85% truth. And just his error in there. And that error is calculated to defeat the good points.
That's how you have to operate when you know you don't have strength to beat the other one. You just use your own strength to overcome them.
Yeah, because a lot of times that 10, 15, 25% is their identity. They claim mm-hmm. their identity is their church identity. And they may get worldlier and worldlier on the other 80%
right,
and
right.
all that changes, but this yep. is their identity, and it's going to stick with them.
So they feel like as long as they've got that, they're okay, even though the rest of it's falling away. That's so subtle. Yeah, rat poison is 99% good food, right? And the devil knows what he's doing. Stop and think. If Christianity had not been splintered into all these different spirits, if Christianity had maintained truth, one truth through the centuries, and today in America you were either this or you were not a Christian, just think what an impact that would have had worldwide. There's a reason for the battle. So, let's pray.